The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
Following the announcement made by Taoiseach Micheál Martin yesterday that our Level 5 restrictions in Ireland will last until at least April 5th, we're going to check in with correspondents from Spain, Germany and France to see how our European neighbours are coping with their challenges of containment and vaccination. Political and security correspondent for Deutsche Welle, Thomas Barrow, is on the line. Thomas, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, let's talk about getting back to school. Which schools are open? How many? What age groups?
Starting this week, kids in most German federal states are returning to school, in particular primary schools and daycare. This is something that in Germany is up to each federal state. So it's not something that can be decided by the federal government. It is something that is basically decided at a regional level, depending on how the coronavirus situation is locally. But in most German states, the younger children are going back to schools. There are different strategies that are being implemented there, for example, alternating classes, so making sure that kids only go on certain days to school, or dividing classes and making sure that kids from different groups don't meet each other. Those are, again, up to different states here in Germany, and the strategies that are being implemented are individual, let's say. Those who favour it, those who say that kids should be able to go back to school, are saying that that's very important for their education, also for their mental health, also for parents who have been strained in the last few months because of all this homeschooling, as it's described here. Those who are against kids going back to school say that this could have a negative impact on the overall coronavirus situation in the country and could increase numbers once again.
Now, have they laid down any criteria by which schools may open? For example, the rate of infection in a particular state?
Well, the rate of infection here, there's one important number that has been discussed, and that's 50 infections per 100,000 in the last 7 days. That was the decision in the last few weeks that led to this first sort of round of opening. But any further opening in Germany in other areas will be even stricter. It will go down to 35 infections per 100,000 in 7 days. But again, when you're talking about schools, when we're talking in general about education, it is something that is ultimately up to each regional leader. So if a regional leader, say in a state in the West with a low incidence, low coronavirus numbers, says that kids are going to go back to school in certain grades, then he has the authority to actually implement those changes. Obviously, leaders are trying to coordinate with the German Chancellor, with the federal government, but it's ultimately up to the regions. And that's why there is, it has been described here as a sort of patchwork of measures with kids going back to school.
But that figure of 50 cases per 100,000, a rolling 5 day average, to give you some idea of what's happening in Ireland, we are more than four times that, our national average. We are talking about opening the schools to some extent next Monday. That could not happen in Germany at the level that we are.
Well, at a national, if you look at a national level here in Germany, the incidence now in this 7 day 100,000 situation is around 60, 65, which is much, much better than, say, December or January, but it's still way too high for the goals that the federal government and regional governments have set to try and continue opening things in Germany, because what the German Chancellor has stressed is that there will be specific groups of reopening. That's part of the German strategy that, by the way, is being discussed as of yesterday in a working group led by the head of the German Chancellery, Helge Braun, with some of his regional counterparts. But there are three key areas. One of them is education. The second one is personal contacts, so how many people can meet one household and so on. And the third one is economy and culture, so when exactly a restaurant will be able to reopen, when will a museum be able to reopen. And it's important to stress that now here in Germany, only essential shops are open, so everything else has been shut for a very long time. And the next step, the next immediate step that will reopen, which is very controversial, by the way, is hairdressers. So hairdressers in Germany will be allowed to open as of the 1st of March. And then the week after that, there will be another one of these very long, very difficult meetings between the German Chancellor and the regional governments to decide the next steps. And the next steps, as I say, will be with this 35 new infections per 100,000 inhabitants in 7 days.
So these levels are very low by the standards in Ireland, and yet, as I say, we're opening up the schools. The other areas of the economy, if, for example, the rate, the 7 day per 100,000 rate, which is 65 or thereabouts at the moment, if that were to increase, would that put the plans on hold?
Yes, that would put the plans on hold. I will explain very briefly why this has been decided, this 35, because the German Chancellor and in general, the German government has stressed that they do not want to go back to a situation where they open for 2 weeks, then they see that the numbers go up again, then they have to close everything again. So they want to make sure, for example, that this 35 incidence rate can be held for at least 1 or 2 weeks before announcing the next step. So essentially what they're saying is that they prefer to keep things closed for a little bit longer. That was the reason that was announced, why they announced this extension of the lockdown a few weeks ago, instead of announcing opening and then closing again everything in 2 or 3 weeks' time. The main concern now, and I also think it's the main concern you have over there, are these variants, in particular the variant that was first found in the United Kingdom. What was said here by the German Health Minister Jens Spahn is that that variant accounts now for 22% of samples that have been analysed here in Germany. This is a very, very high number for German standards, and that's the reason why now German authorities have a big dilemma. On the one hand, there is a lot of pressure for things to reopen, for businesses to reopen, restaurants to reopen and so on, schools to reopen as well, completely. On the other hand, there is a lot of concern, and that's why there is also some pressure for German authorities to continue some of those restrictions. And that's where they will have to find some middle ground, how to make sure that these variants do not increase again the number of infections and deaths, and how to make sure, on the other hand, that Germany can reopen safely.
How is your vaccine rollout going? What percentage of the population has been vaccinated? And the priorities that are laid down, is it pretty much as in Ireland, for example, where the very elderly in nursing homes, the healthcare workers on the front line, that these people are vaccinated first?
It's been described here as painfully slow. It's even being described as something that could affect Angela Merkel's legacy in certain parts, because it has been extremely problematic for the German government. It is obviously a reason for hope for many, and that remains. It's been described as the way out of the pandemic, but at the same time, it is a big headache for German authorities. There are problems in the organization, which again is up to German federal states. Up to now, there have been over 5 million vaccinations. That's, if I'm not mistaken, around 4% of Germany's population, around 4%. Which is lower than other European countries. German government, the German authorities have said they're trying to increase that a lot. One problem that they're facing now in particular is with the AstraZeneca vaccine, because there seem to be individual situations where people do not want to get vaccinated with the AstraZeneca because they believe that it is not as effective as the other two vaccines that have been authorized at a European level. And that's why now what we're seeing here in Germany is a push by the German government, by German health authorities, explaining on social media, on television, everywhere they can, that the AstraZeneca vaccine is also effective, maybe as effective as the other ones as well. And that's why, for example, the big controversy here is now why, despite the fact that Germany has enough doses, for example, from the AstraZeneca vaccine, only a very small margin of those vaccines have been actually used in the different regions. That's something that German authorities want to increase, because they've said that only if the AstraZeneca vaccine is included with the other two as part of Germany's vaccination program, only if people actually use that vaccine and want to get vaccinated, then they will be able to get through these problems now and make sure that they achieve the goal that the German government has established, namely that every adult in Germany will get a vaccine offer until the end of the summer, that is the 21st of September, which, by the way, is only 5 days before the German federal elections that will mark an end to Angela Merkel's 16 years in power.
And very briefly, finally, Thomas, the question of teachers in the vaccination chain, are they vaccinating teachers as a priority?
This has actually just changed in the last few minutes. They changed the order of vaccination to make sure that teachers can get the vaccination earlier, because that was one of the conditions that was put also for the reopening of schools here in this country. Teachers were lower in the ranking in the order, and now they have been put up so that they can start getting the vaccine earlier, so that they can make sure that schools, if possible, remain open. And this is a strategy that will go hand in hand with more testing, and especially some of these fast tests as they're being described here. So yes, teachers can now be vaccinated here in this country quicker as they had before.
You'll have these lateral flow antigen testing in the schools, as well as all the other measures and early vaccination of teachers. Thomas, thank you very much for joining us. That's Thomas Sparrow of Deutsche Welle, the political and security correspondent. Hugh Schofield of the BBC in Paris has been listening to that conversation. Does it sound familiar to you, Hugh, what's going on in Germany? Is it similar in France?
Well, I mean, the one big thing is not similar, which is that we've got, you know, we're open, schools are open, shops are open, we're under curfew still, and everyone has to be back at their homes, as we've discussed before this programme, by 6 o'clock in the evening, and that remains the big constraint and the big controlling measure here in France. But, you know, what we don't have is confinement, and what we don't have is lockdown, and it's been quite apparent that and the priority of President Macron's that schools in particular remain open. Now, if there are cases in schools, then things change and classes can shut down fairly quickly. I have a little boy who's in nursery school, and he was just before half term, which we're on now. He was sent home because there was a case in his class. So things are triggered fairly quickly. But life has been sort of surprisingly normal in a sense, over the last few weeks, as we've watched other countries in Europe, neighbours of France, imposing much more strict measures.
Now, we'll talk about Nice in a few moments, because it's, I suppose, a salutary lesson about people being allowed to move about and to arrive in what are holiday destinations. But before that, the question of schools and extra precautions they might be taking. I read something about they're using a thing called Easy Cove, which is a saliva swab to test students in school.
Yeah, I've just been reading that. I mean, it's starting this week, and it's being introduced on a regional basis. I'm not fully across these circumstances, but it certainly seems to be this sort of swab test, which I understand it is quite new. And the idea is to keep a handle on, you know, what's happening in schools and to allow this opening to continue. It's really just getting underway. So there's no results of this or any kind of indication of whether it's going to make a big difference. But I mean, that's certainly one of the measures they're putting in place to sort of to make sure that we don't go backwards, that France keeps its schools open. I mean, Macron has been very, very sensitive to the issue of young people, particularly, I mean, in not too much school students, but university students, who he recognises are, you know, presenting all sorts of social, mental, psychological problems at the moment. And I mean, he really does not want to move backwards now from where we're at.
Now, we had Edwina Curry on this programme. You'll remember Edwina, I'm sure. Yesterday, she was having a go at President Macron, saying he didn't like AstraZeneca because it was a British invention in Oxford and all that sort of stuff. What is the attitude to AstraZeneca? Because we heard there from Thomas how some people in Germany are wary of it, even though it's got the EMA go-ahead for use for all age groups.
Well, I mean, this story has been rumbling on for sort of 3 or 4 weeks now. And, I think back in January, it was a very hot one. And there was a lot of questions about the attitude of the Europeans and the French in particular towards AstraZeneca. And, there were the comments of Macron and his Europe minister back then about whether it was that reliable. And Macron did appear to be pouring some doubt onto its efficacy among the older age group. And no doubt that filtered down into the part of the population, and you have seen some resistance to it. I think that's gradually changing, though, as time goes by. There are no reactions. There are, more and more studies come out which suggest that it is perfectly effective among older age groups. That was the issue. And there's been no reports of worrying side effects, or at least no more so than you would expect statistically, and no worse than the other ones. So I think this is going to disappear as an issue, and the thirst for and the need for vaccines is as strong here as in Germany, and the Rollout has been as slow here as in Germany, if not slower. I mean, you know, now we're talking, you know, only about sort of 5% of the population, of the adult population, who've had their first dose. That's, you know, about 2.5 million people. And, you know, that in Britain, I think we're up to 15, 16 million people now. So it hasn't been great. And now I see this week, with government support, they're accelerating the rollout of AstraZeneca, with pharmacies now able to administer the injections to people, not just doctors, which means that, you know, one is tempted to think that the opposition and the doubts cast in it at the beginning were all slightly political. And now it's being sort of put behind us all, and the country recognizes that this is part of the solution, and there's no point in being too sort of either nationalistic or protectionist about it. It's just pointless.
Now, the national average in France, the 7-day rolling average of 190 per 100,000, slightly less than we are here. But in Nice, the rate of infection, 700 per 100,000, which is almost four times the national average. What happened in Nice?
Well, in Nice and in Dunkirk as well. I mean, in Dunkirk in the north, we're talking about 900 per 100,000, and Nice, as you know, we've discussed, is going to have these specific measures in place now, and this new French policy of kind of regionalizing its response. What happened in Nice, maybe, though no one seems entirely sure, is that over the winter break and the spring, or the winter holidays, what would have been once the skiing holidays, people flew in from other countries, Britain, Ireland, I don't know, to enjoy the sun and take a bit of a break, and it was that movement of people, potentially, it was conceivably, who brought this rush in Nice and the surrounding area. Plus the fact that there has been good weather and people have been congregating outside more on beaches and so on, that might be part of it. I mean, what is interesting is that there are these regional hotspots in France now. Nice near the Italian border is one. Dunkirk on the Belgian border is another. Moselle on the Luxembourg-Belgian-German frontier is another. And a lot of people are wondering, is there a connection with borders, movement of people? In a lot of places on French borders, there is movement from workers going across to other countries. And shoppers, people buying cheap cigarettes, for example, very common around the Luxembourg border. So there is a lot of movement of people, a lot of what the French call brassage. I mean, that means sort of mingling, you know. And questions are being asked whether that's a factor in why these regional areas, though it's not sort of clear cut, because there are other regional areas where that doesn't seem to be the case. So it's far from being, you know, a clear answer.
Hugh Schofield, BBC Paris correspondent, thank you very much. We're going to Graham Keighley, Spain correspondent for The Independent. Graham, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, we'll start with schools, as we have with our other correspondents. What is happening in Spain? Are the schools open or not?
The schools are open. They have been for quite a while now. Obviously, there have been cases in which classes have had to be sent home when children have had have tested positive for COVID. But generally, the government has said the number of cases like that have been quite low. And it's not the case, they say, that schools have been a centre of infection spreading.
Are they taking additional precautions in schools?
Yes, they are. They have been testing at schools on site, and they have, as I say, isolated classes immediately. In some cases, I've heard that whole years have been sent home, or at least given the option to work at home, do their lessons at home, or if they want, come to school and have face-to-face teaching. So it's very strict. They're being very careful. Obviously, they want to avoid any possibility of schools becoming centres of infection.
Now, the vaccine rollout, how rapidly has it progressed in Spain?
Well, slowly in comparison with some other countries. However, So far, there are 1.2 million people, 2.6% of the population, have had both doses of the vaccine. This is more than, say, the UK in terms of people having both doses. However, what the main development on this is the Spanish Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez announced today in Parliament that they will get four times the amount of vaccines in the next quarter as they had in the first quarter. So he anticipates that this program will speed up quite considerably. Spain's target is to have 70% of the population vaccinated by the end of the summer.
And they define the end of the summer as what? The end of September or end of August?
Well, officially the end of the summer, as you know, is the end of September. I think they have said that they have mentioned July, but they're not. They're trying not to be pinned down to months, because obviously it depends on this, how this goes. It depends on how the actual infection rate goes as well.
So the vaccine rollout is slow, but they are adhering to the regulations, are they? They're not extending the gap between the first dose and the second dose in Spain.
No, they're not. They're not doing that at all. They're keeping to strict regulations, and they want to play it by the book.
OK, so we shall watch. We hope that in all countries, that as the supplies ramp up, that the vaccination programmes will get underway more rapidly, and we'll all be vaccinated long before the end of the summer. But Graham, thank you very much for joining us. Graham Keighley, Spain correspondent for The Independent.